themselves either way.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing the morning after the social or the big party with John Bon Jovi and everything? Thank you guys all for getting up so early and coming out to join us today to talk about branding.
The post-concert, the John Ross experience.
Right, right. So if you're looking for the session where we're going to be talking about creating your brand in SharePoint 2013, this is the right one. We've been given a
gigantic room.
The big green dot represents a developer session, but in this session we're not really going to go into traditional developer topics, but that's where we ended up. So I'm John. This is Randy.
If you're a developer and you're expecting us to do a lot of code, you may want to go to a different session so that you don't like get disappointed or whatever. But we'll do a little bit of code here and there.
So in this session, this is SPC 047. So if you happen to be on Twitter, feel free to go ahead, make comments about it with the hashtag, hashtag SPC 047. We'll be sure to take a look at those a little bit later.
But I'm Randy Driscoll. I do branding all day long. You may remember me from such companies as SharePoint 911, but now we are a part of Rackspace Hosting. Worked on a 2010 branding book, and we are feverishly typing away on a 2013 branding book. A little conference in Vegas got in the middle of us writing, so it might be a little bit longer before we're done with that. But if you want to check out my blog, as I learn stuff, I try to put it up there, and check out my Twitter as well. And me and John are down in Orlando, so come visit us in the sun.
And I'm John Ross, also a SharePoint MVP with Rackspace. Used to be our custom solutions lead. That's recently changed in a good way, but haven't really figured out what my new title is. But check me out on my blog. In addition to some branding and WCM related stuff, I also talk about some search topics and everything like that. But check me out. And as Randy said, down in Orlando, and keep in touch on Twitter. Always love to hear from people. But before we kind of get too far into this, I wanna ask a question here. Normally, whenever we do presentations about branding, we have a slide where, after we talk about us, we ask about the audience. And for the 2010 release cycle, we did a session called Branding for the Masses. And the whole idea behind Branding for the Masses was that branding is something that everybody wants to do. There's a few people that are like Randy that do branding all day, every day. But for the most part, everybody does. You know, they do their normal job, they're admins or developers, they may be business people, but everybody needs to do branding a little bit. And so, by a show of hands, how many of you do branding exclusively all day, every day? Anyone? All right, that's
a couple.
As you can see, there's not a ton of you. So the point is, that's really why we're here, and that's really going to be the focus of this whole session, is we're going to talk about the different approaches to branding in SharePoint 2013. Branding has obviously been a big focus in this release. You've seen it demonstrated in the keynote. There's been a number of sessions where they've talked about many of the different new approaches. In this session, though, we're really going to talk about it. We're going to look at those same things in a slightly different way. We're going to look at it in what we would call low, medium, and high effort. And the reason why we break it out this way is that whenever people go into it, if you look at just, you know, purely say themes, or you look at like the full custom branding, there's different skill sets that are involved. And we know that, you know, just by a show of hands, you know, developers and admins are gonna put on that branding hat too. And we want you to understand what you're signing yourself up for, and what's possible with the different options. So we're gonna try to break it down in a real world kind of real world guidance there. So we're gonna start off and give a little bit of intro and backstory into how did we get to this thing that is SharePoint branding. Then we're going to talk about the low effort, medium effort, high effort, and then we're going to bring it back around at the very end, talk about SharePoint Online. SharePoint Online allows you to do a lot of great stuff, but there's some additional nuances with the various SKUs that are available, and there's been some changes from SharePoint Online to the latest release of SharePoint Online, so we want to make sure that we cover that and what's available.
Exactly. Oops, wrong thing.
All right, so we're going to start off introduction to branding. All right, so just real quick, if we go back through the ages and we think about how branding got started, branding got started way back when, with cowboys branding their cattle to make sure that whenever we had big herds of cattle, that, you know, I knew who my cows were and Randy knew who his cows were.
My cows are better.
And the people, and like Randy, you know, if he has really great cows, that brand on that cattle became synonymous with quality. And that eventually evolved into, you know, being into something that was put onto products. And so now when we think about, now when we think about branding, you know, it's really the thoughts and feelings that are around, they're associated with a product or a company. So, you know, as you can see, you know, and in the bottom here, we've got several iterations of the Microsoft logo all the way back from the early days, all the way to the most recent change. I'm sure you guys have read about it. With, you know, it's obviously very metro and very...
The new one's a lot more friendly.
I'm sorry, it's not metro anymore.
Windows 8 style.
Windows 8 style. But, yeah. You know, we use the example of branding as why you call something a Kleenex and not a tissue, or why, you know, you stand in line at Starbucks out there and, you know, are willing to pay, you know, gajillions of dollars for a cup of coffee.
Yep.
And so, I mean, that whole, all of that applies to websites, all of it applies to your internal implementation of SharePoint and what the people see. So in the most just basic level, when we talk about website branding, it's the different components that go in to make a site and create the visuals on the site. I mean, things like colors, fonts, logos, basic HTML, and you know, whatever all those common things that all the regular designers are familiar with. So I don't really need to beat that into the ground. But then whenever we talk about branding for SharePoint, we're taking it one step further. It's a subset of website branding, and now we're referring mostly to the SharePoint specific objects such as master pages, page layouts. I have CSS on there, which is a general thing, but if anybody has played with SharePoint at all, they know that the CSS in SharePoint is kind of an animal of its own, so that's kind of why I called it out there. But web parts, images, visual, other visual things that are going on, and now apps, which we haven't really talked about, but apps are also a big thing that goes on. So
we got, we don't want to get too much into SKUs on this one, since this is both online and in the farm this session. But we just wanted to clarify, like, if you have Office 365 small business, it's meant for, like, a small amount of employees. You get one site collection for collaboration. You don't have publishing, which we'll talk about throughout this session. But you do get one public website, which sort of has a publishing-style thing on it. And we'll talk more about that later in the session. But as we go through stuff, you know, we'll tell you which things have publishing, and those things you'll need to have the enterprise plan for. The enterprise plan, you could turn on a publishing site, you could create one. You don't get, the default one is still collaborative, but you could create a publishing site underneath of it. And so that's just what we want you to think about. If you have questions about SKUs, find another blue shirt that knows all the SKUs, because I've seen the chart of the 365 SKUs and there's like 50 of them. So I don't know them all. So don't ask me about them.
So this is, if we kind of get in our DeLorean and go back in time to you know, this presentation, back 3 years ago when we were talking about the new approach to branding in SharePoint 2010. This is something that Randy and I created to kind of refocus the discussion on branding. And so we've segmented branding in SharePoint 2010 to three different levels: low, medium, and we would call it hard, but we thought that was, you know, a little bit too harsh.
Not friendly.
So yeah. we wanted to call it full effort to, you know, make everybody, you know, not be so scared. So at the low effort, we're talking about basically doing things out of the box. That means changing master pages. That means picking themes. In the medium effort, we thought about medium effort as being things that you could do with SharePoint Designer, editing custom CSS and things like that. And in previous iterations of this presentation for the older versions, we would walk you through going ahead and making changes to CSS to add, you know, to make some subtle changes.
Right.
And then the full effort is kind of everything above that. That's the full custom, you know, sites that look nothing like SharePoint. We're going to talk, we'll show you some examples later on. But this is an important distinction now. So now we're talking about approaches to branding in SharePoint 2013. And the low effort is still the low effort. The high effort full effort is still the full effort. But in the middle there, where we talk about medium effort, big change. And so the big change there, where before we would use SharePoint Designer to make changes to CSS, we don't, as you saw in the keynote, SharePoint Designer really isn't the tool of choice for making changes in the medium range. So now and we'll get into this in just a second, but before, whenever it was something where we were just talking about making changes with SharePoint Designer, you could do it with kind of really very little understanding of code or CSS.
Yeah.
But now with the medium effort, and now the approach that we're using through making changes with your favorite text editor, we're kind of shifting this medium effort, and that's why we see the little, that's why we've highlighted it blue.
The arrow's bigger too.
The arrow's bigger, right.
You may not have noticed that.
So the bigger arrow highlights the fact that we believe you can do more things in the medium effort, but the medium effort has switched a little bit to say that now you need to have, the medium effort now needs a basic understanding of CSS and HTML, a little bit more so than in the past.
Yeah, if you're comfortable with HTML and CSS traditionally, you'll probably really appreciate what comes into the medium effort.
Yeah, so the good thing here is that in the past, whenever you got started with SharePoint, and we've seen this as well, when Randy first started in late 2006 doing a public-facing site, the first one we ever worked on, he had an HTML design and he was trying to get into SharePoint, and he spent, I don't know, a few days trying to get this HTML design working in SharePoint, and he got so frustrated, and my boss actually made me, like, do something else so I could start working with Randy to, you know, stop him from jumping out the window. But the fact is that it was hard for traditional HTML designers that were coming to SharePoint to understand how to get their designs to render. And now that if you're an HTML designer coming to SharePoint 2013, it should be a much more familiar experience, and you should be able to get farther faster. And we're going to talk about that as we kind of go through this. But we want to start off, before we get to that kind of middle effort, we need to start at the basic level. So when we talk about the editing experience in SharePoint 2013, it's really very similar. When we went from 2007 to 2010, it was pretty significant because we ended up with the ribbon. You know, we changed the site actions button to, you know, the left side. You know, so it took people a while getting used to the ribbon and how all that works. But the ribbon's still there in 2013. So for people that are moving, really your big change is going to be, you know, now the site actions button is a little gear in the upper right hand corner as opposed to the left, which still trips me up to this day. But you know, you'll get used to it, and it's not too bad. But it allows you to do basically all the same things. I'm not really going to, you know, not really going to get too deep into it, but you know, if you've used 2010, it's not going to be too difficult for you to end up picking up 2013. At the bottom here, though, I wanted to call out something that sometimes we pull out onto another slide, but I've called out team sites and I've called out publishing sites, and the reason why I want to put this out there is that we generally segment the major groups of sites into two, right? There's collaboration sites, which is primarily going to be where people are going to be working, doing all of their day-to-day work, collaborating with their colleagues and things like that. And content is really going to be the primary focus of those sites. And so, you know, we also make reference you also have the wiki sites, which the wiki sites from a branding perspective offer a little bit more options with the text layouts and such. But on the other side of that, you have publishing sites. When publishing sites are primarily geared toward communication. And so that means that, you know, they're typically more highly stylized, and their job is to convey information to your users. And I call this out for one specific reason, because when you're designing your sites in the real world, you're likely going to have some combination of these two things. And the purpose of both of these sites is distinctly different. And so this is one of the fundamental problems or fundamental questions that I seem to have with every single one of my clients, where they want to know, should we do like a 100% width site, or should I do a fixed width design? And you know, generally the generally is drawn along the lines of whether of publishing or team. Team means we want to make it go 100% so we can fit as much information on the screen as we can. Publishing, we want to keep it prettier.
And it has to do with collaboration and communication. Like in your publishing site, usually you're communicating information out to people, less authors, that kind of thing. In your team sites, people are just getting their work done. You know, they're doing forms, they're doing Gantt charts, you know, that kind of thing. And so that's usually where we divide it. And so you may see both. You may see the top-level portal be publishing and the lower-level sites be team collaborative sites.
So from an out-of-the-box perspective for 2013, the theming engine as we knew it in 2010 has evolved.
Yes.
So if we go back to 2007 world, creating themes in 2007 it allowed you to do custom CSS and really change almost every aspect. We had done themes that if you were to if we were to show you a custom theme that we did in 2007, you would have sworn that there was a custom master page in there, because you could change literally every piece of what you were seeing on the screen with custom CSS. The downside was making custom themes meant that you had to go update something on the file server. And our admins really didn't like it whenever Randy was poking around on the server.
Designers shouldn't be just like poking around in like XML files on the server, right?
So Microsoft decided that they were going to change that so that in 2010, they switched to the Office, the THMX branding, which was essentially just reskinning. But it was almost like an overcorrection, where we were trying to make sure that in 2007, we didn't want people messing around on the server, so we fixed that, but now we've pretty much handcuffed people. The problem was it was almost too limiting, and you know, I'm not sure what the overall adoption was, but we didn't really see a ton of people that were using themes in 2010. So in 2013, we now have a thing called Compose Looks, which are sort of almost a good, I think they're a really great solution, because it's almost like we've landed back in the middle for themes, to where now we can still reskin and recolor, but we also can inject some imagery and things like that.
It's sort of like WordPress in a way. I think, you know, I don't know what Microsoft was, you know, what they were looking at when they put it together, but it's almost like, you know, a WordPress kind of nice touchy-feely look and feel for your sites. And there's a couple examples there. We're going to show a demo in a little bit. You saw it in the keynote as well. But let's talk about sort of what's behind the scenes when you talk about this stuff. It's similar, very similar to how themes worked in 2010, except for you're not using the Office client anymore. Like in the previous version, you would make a theme in PowerPoint or Word, save off a THMX file, upload it into your server. That's how you got your theme. Now in 2013, similar concept. Still have colors, fonts, that kind of thing. But for the colors and fonts, you just are editing. You make a copy of an XML file, and you put which fonts and colors you want into it. You put that into the Composed Looks gallery, and that's how they feed into the Composed Look. But there's also now a background image. You also tie it to a master page, which can be changed when the user selects it or whatever, but it's initially tied to a master page. And there's something called a preview file, which is sort of a complicated little thing that kind of shows a teaser of what it's going to look like. And if you're basing your Composed Looks off of the out-of-the-box stuff, you could just use the existing preview. If you make your own master page that you want it to work with, you'll have some extra work. And we're not going to go into that in this session because it's a little bit complicated how you have to make that preview file. But if you do want to do that, I recommend copying one of the existing ones and making changes. It's sort of like a HTML, simple HTML version of your full site, just like put into a little iframe or whatever. And that's what they bring in and apply the colors to.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about it a little bit later and a little bit more specifics. But I think one of the key takeaways, at least for Composed Looks, is that as we're thinking about how people are going to brand the different aspects of their sites, and so this, you know, if I give a little, you know, little note that you all should keep in mind, Composed Looks are probably going to be the preferred way to brand your collaboration sites.
Right.
So, you know, that's not saying you can't go the other way. You can't go with other options with doing custom master pages and all that other stuff. But Composed Looks, custom Composed Looks. You know, getting Composed Looks if somebody makes them and, you know, uploading them to your site are probably going to be the first choice that you're going to want to think
about. A lot of time we see the top-level portal be highly stylized, master page, team sites, just a hint of styling, and this is great for a hint of styling. What I wanted to show you here is side-by-side two different menus. The one on the left is what you see in the Composed Looks gallery, and so it's the settings for this Composed Look. On the right is when you go to change the look and apply it. And the reason why I wanted to show it side by side is I think it's interesting because you could tell that the touchy-feely UI team at Microsoft got their hands all over the part where you select the Composed Look, and they use different verbiage than in where you make it in the gallery. And so you'll see places where it says master page URL, and then over on the right it says site layout, which can be confusing if you're familiar to page layouts back in the day. But site layout actually is pointing to the master page that is applied to this site. And then fonts is the same as font scheme URL. Colors is theme URL, which is sort of backwards because themes is what was in 2010, and now it's just the theme URL is just your color file. And then you know, there's an image URL is what references that background image you see at the top there. So I think we're going to go to a quick demo here.
There we go.
All right. Let's see. So it's number 7. We up? Yep. Okay. Cool. So what we have here, not there, is our default 2013 site. This is a publishing site, but collaborative site would look very similar as well. Up here on the right is our friend, the Site Actions cog, which is not to be confused with the IE cog up here. There's less little fingers or whatever you call the little parts of the cog on there. And so if we go over here to site settings, we can see if we go to change the look, here's all those options that you may have seen in the keynote. These are sort of the out-of-the-box ones. We don't have any of them added. And you can see that some of them are really kind of basic, and some of them are sort of out there. They have a wood grain one, and I like using this one because it's very different than your out-of-the-box experience. And this right here in the middle here is that preview file I was talking about. Like, I don't know if you could tell, like, it used to be that it was somewhat live when you hovered over stuff. I don't know if it still is or not, but this is what's kind of giving you a preview of what's happening in there. This guy right here at the top here is the background image that's applying to it. We could change it right now if we wanted to. I won't yet. Here's all the colors that are allowed to be used with it, and you can see that it reflects it right in there as we kind of hover over them. And they've kind of simplified it, right? Like, it's not like there are a lot of colors in the theme file, but it kind of only bubbles up the top few that are important so that people can...
And if you remember back to 2010, one of the challenges is whenever you would, you'd pick like 12 colors or something like that, and then of the 12 colors, SharePoint would kindly retint them all for you, and you never knew what variation of what tint would show up where. And so they've greatly simplified it down, which I think from a designer perspective is going to make your job a lot easier.
Makes it a little easier. And then again, here, site layout, like I was saying, this is your master pages. And if you haven't seen in 2013, Seattle is the default master page, the equivalent of V4 back in 2010. And then Oslo is just another kind of offshoot of it that just arranges things a little differently on the page, but not tremendously different. And then here's the fonts. And if you remember in 2010, it like showed you all the fonts on your server. And in this case, you can actually put font, like you can kind of scale it back so there's only the fonts that you want people to actually use on there. But if we click try it out. This is some more touchy-feely stuff here, working on it. Did you know you can click that and make it go away? That's a good little Easter egg right there. I don't know why anyone felt you needed to hide the little spinning circle or whatever. But so we got this nice fun stuff where it says like not quite there, yes, keep it. If we click yes, keep it, did I get it? Let me try it again.
SharePoint is so nice in how it talks to us.
You can see, it put the background behind there. We've got a different kind of font up here at the top. Not too shabby, right? Well, what we could do from there is if we want to kind of make this look like our brand, if you will, I've got some files out here that I pre-created that we could put back here. For those that know, I'm kind of fascinated with breakfast and bacon products. So we've got a background image that we could throw behind there. This could be your corporate headquarters or something like that. And then we have a logo here that I created for Randy's Waffles that we can kind of plop in there. We won't use the composed look for that. We'll just use the site icon and put that in for the logo or whatever. So what we could do is, if we go back to change the look real quick, and we'll keep it on this one, the current one. And if I go over here to change, and we get the little working on it again, we can browse, and we go background, open, click OK. Thinks for a second, and then you can see there, it's kind of showing you what it's going to look like with my background on there. I don't like that color scheme. It's a little bit too in my face. I like, is it this one? Yeah, I think it's one of these gray ones in here. It's this one. We'll go with this one. Something a little subtle, you know, that way, you know, we could put maybe one of our corporate colors, not go crazy and put like a million corporate colors in there. I like this Rockwell font. I'll leave that in there. We go try it out again. Thinks for a second. It shouldn't take long. And we go, okay, yeah, we like that. We want to keep it. Okay. Thanks for another second. And, you know, it's on our site. But let's change that logo up here, this little SharePoint logo thing. I'm not quite sure what it's supposed to represent, like a little bracelet or something. I don't know. But if we go title, description, and logo right here. This is kind of neat because they had something like this in 2010, of course, but they added this little thing here where now I can go from computer, I go browse, and I can go to my logo here, click open, click OK, and it kind of put it in there for me. And just I didn't have to upload that to a library, find it, choose it, that kind of thing. We click OK, we got our logo up there. I put my logo on a transparent background so you could kind of see through or whatever, and it's wired up to our site. So now we've done sort of some very simple branding. I didn't do anything. I didn't lift a finger. I didn't do any code, et cetera. If I wanted to, I could make a custom master page, apply that as well, take this a lot further or whatever. So let's that's kind of that demo. Let's
see. Yeah, and I think the point a lot of this on composed looks, a lot of the stuff that you can do in the low effort branding is things that we would typically have spent a lot of time talking about in what we would call the medium effort branding. But now medium effort, so a lot of the things, say, have some things have gotten easier. But now in the medium effort, we're going to focus on working with design managers. This is one of those, this is absolutely one of the things that was demoed in the keynote. We're a little concerned because we didn't know that they were going to demo it in the keynote.
And surprised us with that.
We thought that they were stealing our demo, but they did it really, really fast. So we want to kind of take a step back and kind of, you know, reintroduce you to the design manager. I know there's other sessions on design managers, so this isn't going to be like a huge, massive deep dive on it. But it's a very important part of the branding story for 2013, and it's very important for us to kind of talk about it. So if we go back to that story that I was telling about Randy and, you know, throwing himself out a window and all that, we were talking about why it was difficult for traditional designers to come to SharePoint as a platform. One of the problems was just they don't understand a lot of the SharePoint specific stuff. And so now Design Manager is a way to allow these traditional designers to get farther faster with SharePoint. So enter the Design Manager. Really, it's the Design Manager kind of collectively refers to these set of menus and pages that you'll see over on the right. It's accessible when publishing is enabled on a site. Mm-hmm. So you have to have publishing. You have to have it turned on. If you have Foundation, then, you know.
Kind of if you have Office 365, you have to have Enterprise, or the public site does have Design right. Manager in it. So that's a little bit confusing there.
It's accessible from the Site Actions button. So once it's enabled, you'll hit the little gear and you'll see Design Manager there, and you'll see these set of menus that are there. And within those menus, you'll see a few different things. It's kind of going to end up being your central hub for making a lot of your custom changes, whether it's, you know, customizing your device channels, which allow you to create other separate master pages to render differently, whether it's for different devices or whether it's for multilingual, there's a
Surface,
ton of scenarios.
Surface, iPad,
it's a really, we're not going to go into the device channel stuff too much, but no. If you're at all interested in it, I encourage you to, I'm not sure if the session has already been given, but if it hasn't, please go check that out, because there's a lot of really awesome things that you
we
can do.
We could check out Alyssa's session from yesterday. They covered a little bit in that. I don't remember the number.
So, yeah, if you have any questions, we come up and talk to us later. We can kind of fill you in on what other ones to check out. But, you know, the other big thing with Design Manager is it allows you to take your HTML and CSS, upload it, get it converted into a master page, and get it working in SharePoint. That's what we're going to demo here in a second. But, like I said, it's really going to end up being the central hub for all things that you do for branding.
Exactly. And so, you know, they talked about this a little bit. There was a big cheer in the keynote where they said no more SharePoint Designer. The truth is you could still use SharePoint Designer for some of this stuff if you're used to it. The downside is there's no design view in it anymore, so you don't get the nice preview. I never used that personally to begin with.
And that's one thing that hasn't really been talked about very much. There still is SharePoint Designer. Right. It's still a great option for doing workflows and a lot of other things. And you can still do branding stuff in it, honestly. It's just you're not going to get that preview that you used to get.
Yeah, there are still some things that it does nicely. Like if you need to check in and publish a bunch of files for some reason, it can be helpful for some things like that. But the reason why it's not the design tool of choice anymore is because they've given us a new way to access the master page gallery. Now we can map a drive via our computer. You'll see I'll kind of demo it in a second or whatever. But you know, you map a drive and it just goes right to the master page gallery and you can just start opening files, right? And you could kind of do that in 2010, even though no one ever mentioned it, by the way. But you couldn't work with the master page files. They were locked. And so if you needed to work with style stuff, you could still do this in 2010. But in 2013, they've juiced it up. And so now they didn't put any money into sort of making Designer be a design tool of choice. They said, okay, we'll leverage the design tools that everyone already uses, like Adobe Dreamweaver, Expression Web. I use Notepad++ because I'm kind of a code guy, but not really. I'd imagine you could use any tool that does modern HTML, like maybe Hotdog Pro. Do you guys remember that tool? I don't think you download it anymore.
Fun fact, when we were rehearsing this last week, I actually went in and tried to find if you can still get Hot Dog Pro. There is a website still for Hot Dog Pro, although none of the images load anymore.
I think it's just for giggles nowadays or something. But I just put a few screenshots in there because I'm just going to show Notepad++ because that's what I like. But if you saw some of the other sessions, they did Dreamweaver and Expression and that kind of thing. And you can see here's Expression. I think Expression actually kind of shows the best preview, at least when I've kind of messed with it a little bit. You can see the preview down in the bottom right or whatever. And you can see you've got code and you've got your preview there. And if you go to the next one, this is Dreamweaver. There's two modes to how Dreamweaver previews. There's live code and regular. This is how it looks without live code turned on. And you can see it's kind of weird, like the icons doesn't come in and things like that. But if you put live mode, it's actually what you see in a browser because they've just like they've baked in, I think, like the WebKit browser or whatever into there. And so you could use that. I just leave a browser open. I just hit refresh after I hit save every time because I want to see it exactly how it's in the browser. I don't trust design tools like that. And then my favorite tool, Notepad++, obviously. You just get a bunch of code with highlighting and that kind of thing. We'll see that in a little bit. So the reason why you can use that map drive and you can use those tools, like if you were to just open up a master page in Dreamweaver, it's not going to preview it, right? Because there's ASP.NET code in there. There's all kinds of register tags that Dreamweaver doesn't know what to do with. So in 2013, what they've done is they've made it so that with the Design Manager, you can edit HTML files. And so if you go into Design Manager, say create a new master page, or you convert a master page, you end up with an HTML file and a master page that are tied together. And every time you edit the HTML file and hit save, the master page updates, right? And so you never actually, in that case, when you're doing it this way, you don't want to just edit that master page file because it could always be overridden the second you hit save. But what you could do is start it and then decouple the two of them, and then you'd have a master page that you could edit without using the Design Manager if you really wanted to. And like I said, you could create a new one, a minimal master page that doesn't necessarily have any comments or anything like that in it, but it's just the bare bones, just your white canvas to start things or whatever. Or you could take your design, and that's what I'm going to show you in a little bit, convert it into it. So, that's fine and dandy. We've got a starting place, right? But how do you know, like if you're editing HTML, how do you put in a search box? How do you put in navigation? How do you put in a sign-in, title, logo, all those types of things? The snippet gallery is how they've surfaced that, where before you had to go read our book, learn how to make one of those search box controls. They've actually given us, the starting point for each one, and they're the HTML code that goes in your HTML. When you hit save, it'll turn that HTML snippet into the search box that we would normally use in just a master page or whatever. And so that's how we kind of get around having to know all that stuff. Here's a quick screenshot of what it looks like. I'm going to show it in a demo. But what I wanted to show you is that over on the right there, you may not be able to tell by just looking at it, but that's like an accordion thingy right there. And so when you click on those things, you can actually change the properties of the search box and the navigation, et cetera. When you change it, it updates that snippet over on the left, which is what you're going to copy and paste into your code and make it work.
And this is a really big thing. I mean, in terms of doing this in the before time, we used to have to go in and you have to look up each control, figure out what all properties were available to it, and in some cases they weren't always it wasn't always easy to figure out what option you needed for what. But now we've got a great interface for determining all of the different things we want to do. And it provides us this sample code, I think, is a great example of kind of how the design experience has gotten a lot better because it's kind of moved us forward faster. So another thing that's kind of important for us to talk about is one of the other things that has been improved in SharePoint 2013 is the ability to create and import design packages. So this is something that I've been talking about for years now, this whole idea that whenever you deploy your branding, what's the right way to deploy it? A lot of times we talk about crack open Visual Studio, create a WSP, do all that other good stuff and deploy it. But the fact is that it wasn't hard per se to do it, but there was a lot of nuances and doing it right was kind of tricky. And so now Microsoft was kind enough to create us this design import and export utility that allows you to go in and what we'll say automatically create design packages. So you go in, Randy could go ahead and create a custom design, master page, page layouts, imagery and CSS. We go in, we push a button, we say create design package, and it just gives us a nice sandbox WSP that we can then take, and I can move it to another server, I can move it to another site collection, I can import it, and once I apply it, it's there. It's really nice. If you're doing some local development and you want to push something up to the Office 365, it's a great utility for that. The one thing that I will just mention, depending on what strategy you're using for deployment and for how complex your implementation is, it does create a sandbox solution. So we know for sandbox solutions, they're isolated to a specific site collection. So if this is something that you're looking for one master page to, say, apply across multiple site collections, you're going to want to just double check and make sure that this is going to be the right match for you. So
yeah, if you have 100 of them, you might not want to just create import 100 times.
It's a tremendous resource and thing to have. Just with a lot of this stuff, one of the points of this session is that some of this stuff, although it's really awesome and new and great, it's not necessarily the answer to every situation. So just make sure, check it out, and just make sure that you you kind of do your homework on some of that stuff.
All right, it's demo time.
There are some really slow transitions.
There are, but that's good. Let's see, 7. All right. So again, we're back at our default site. We're going to try to import in HTML design here. And so I mentioned the design manager is important. It's actually up here in the site actions. It's also in the site settings if you get lost or whatever. But if we click there and we say, like, we don't know how to import, we don't know how to map our drive yet. So what we could do is we're going to skip over device channels. I'm not convinced it should be number 2 on there, but if we go to number 3 here, upload, it tells you right here that if you're going to map a drive, this is what you're going to map. And I've already mapped it because sometimes the connectivity in these rooms can be weird or whatever. But what you would do is you would copy that URL there, and then if you have Open Explorer, you could right-click on Network. You could say Map Network Drive, right? And then what you would do is you just paste that into there. I guess I didn't paste it or whatever. But anyways, you paste that into there, hit OK, and then it's going to say, OK, now whenever you go to the S drive, you're in your master page gallery. I mean, like, it can't be any easier than that, right? And so I've got one mapped here, and you can see here that mine's on the X drive or whatever, but it's going to catalogs, master page. If we wanted to go up the chain, go to other places in our site collection, we could. And this view you're seeing here is exactly like you would see in SharePoint Designer on the left-hand side of SharePoint Designer. It's your view of your site collection. It's how you find the files and et cetera. So we have a design here that I made. It's not the world's most sexiest design in the world, but I think it's a good example of maybe a basic design that you may have that you want to try to get into SharePoint or whatever. Like, maybe you bought a template from Template Monster, or maybe you've got a design shop and they made something for you. So here is our basic site, just HTML here. I didn't go crazy with doing all the flyouts. I just did some hover states or whatever. We got all that stuff in there. If I view source on it real quick, let's see if I can bump that up a little bit. Well, I can't bump that up, but I can do that. There we go. We can zoom in a little bit with this stupid zoom thing or whatever. But you can see there it's just HTML at this point, and I try to, being a good HTML designer, I try to make it semantic, not having tables, things like that in there. We can do HTML5. We can do XHTML 401, et cetera, however we want to do it. But we've got HTML in here that we like, right? And we've sort of mocked up our design with it. And we want to get that into SharePoint, start doing something with it, right? So I take that map drive that I had right here. We could dump it into the master page gallery anywhere, right? What I like to do is I like to create a folder for it. That way, it's not just hanging out with all the other files. And so I've already uploaded them. I saw one of the other demos they tried to upload during their session, and it took like 10 minutes or so for all the files to get in there. So I've already uploaded them. But essentially, all you would have had to do is just put these guys side by side, grab that, drag them all in there. It's going to just upload them to your site collection.
So one thing I want to clarify, though, is in SharePoint 2010 and even in 2007, we typically would have the master page gallery, which primarily had the master pages and page layouts. And we've stored, our recommendation has always been to store files and imagery in the style library.
That's a good point.
Nowadays in SharePoint 2013 land, that model has been flipped upside down. Well, not really flipped upside down. It's been changed. So
you can
now
still do that. But
so your page layouts and master pages still live in the master page gallery. However, that's also where your images and your CSS and things are also gonna live. So one of the reasons why Randy's advocating creating a subfolder is just to keep things a little bit cleaner.
Yep.
So this way we don't have like a million bazillion things.
Yeah, and you can actually see, like I went back up to the top level. If you get into some of the other sessions where they're talking about creating display templates for like content by search or just search in general, they actually live in the master page gallery as well, up in here in display templates. So they've kind of made the master page gallery where everything lives. It doesn't have to be master pages anymore, right? And so that's what we're using. We use this master page gallery for all of our styles, all of our images. And it's good because that makes the path easier as well. So like the path is just, it's local to the files or whatever.
You're talking about in your CSS, your
exactly.
path and your CSS to your imagery.
Exactly. Okay, so I've uploaded them, right? So it's in my site collection. Now we can actually go back over to SharePoint here. And what we could do is we can go to Edit Master Pages, numero 4 on the list of things we could do. If we wanted to, we could create a minimal master page right here. I'm not going to do it. It's just going to create something very simple that we could start with. But if we go to the top one here, and we go convert an HTML file to a SharePoint master page, if we click on that, did I actually get it? Let's see if I click it. There we go. You get a little pop-up working on it again, of course. And then we have this asset picker, which is kind of a little bit interesting because it's not really an asset what they're picking, but anyways, they just reused this. And so I uploaded my stuff to Waffles, so I have to go into the Waffle folder. And then what it's showing me there is an HTML file that has not yet been converted. After we convert it, you won't see that file in this list anymore. And so if I pick this guy, and I kind of click on him, and I go Insert, which is kind of a weird button to click on, it seems like nothing happened. But if you watch this little list, in a second, if all goes well, boom, it just refreshed. And demo Waffles, or actually Waffles 2013 appeared in here. And over on the right, you see conversion successful. If for some reason I had messed up the HTML, it would have, I forget what the exact error message is, but it says like, there were problems or whatever. And you can click on that, and it kind of gives you a hint. Sometimes it'll give you a line number, sometimes it won't, as to where your problem is. Usually if it doesn't convert, it's because the document is not XML compliant. Like there's some kind of issue with a closing tag or something like that, because Microsoft is parsing it. You know, they're trying to have a program that goes through and turns this into a master page. So if it's not compliant XML, gonna fail or whatever, right?
And so if you do happen to go out and you're interested in doing something like this, you go out to like Template Monster or whatever, and you're importing some of those templates. Some of them have some tags or whatever that may cause that to kind of.
Yeah, a common gotcha, which if you're into modern web design, you may have heard of something called HTML5 boilerplate, which is like a template that a lot of designs are based on these days. They actually have a snippet of code at the very top of HTML5 boilerplate that, at least in the preview version, I don't know if it still does it in the RTM version, but I think it still does, it'll break the conversion process. And so if you have one of those, it's easy to fix. Just take that code out of there or redo it a little bit to meet your needs or whatever, but everything else will convert fine. And so once we've got it in there, what we do is we click on this conversion successful link right here. And that takes us to a preview of our file right there. We can kind of see what it looks like. And what's interesting there is it immediately looks like it worked, right? It looks like we're done with our job. We've got our design finished, right? But not really. It's just my mocked-up HTML. And then at the bottom of it, they just jammed a content placeholder in there. And so kind of the next step is to take this content placeholder, take the actual search box, actual navigation, and move it into that design. And the way you do it is you edit the HTML and move it in with the snippets or whatever. And so what I'll show you real quick is before I do that, I'll go back to the main site. And I'm going to just apply it to my site just so you can see what it looks like. And what I need to do before I apply it is I need to publish it. And an easy way to do that is to hit on this dot, dot, dot right here, and then this dot, dot right here, dual dot, dot, dots. And then you go publish a major version. And what it's going to do is it's going to publish the HTML file, not the master page file. So that might be confusing. If you go to the gallery, you'll see both in there. And if you go to publish it from there, you might try to publish the master file. That's not the way it works. It'll give you like a funky error. It doesn't break anything. It just says you can't do that or whatever. So when I click this, I've published it. I give a comment. I never give a comment because I'm a bad person. But and then once it's in there, I can go up to site settings and I can just apply it like I normally do. I can go to master page. I can go over here and I can say Waffles 2013, click OK. I only put it on the publishing pages, so if I go back up to the top, you can see it's in there, right? And again, this is where that, in the preview, this is where you saw that yellow box. And so this is where our page is injecting code into the site that we need to now move that up into the site, right? And so the way we do that is, like I was saying, we go back over to Design Manager, we go back over to edit master pages, we click on conversion successful. And unfortunately, this is the only place where this button exists in SharePoint that I know of. Maybe there's a hidden place you guys will find later, and you can tweet me and tell me about it. But up here in the top right is snippets. And when you click snippets, you get snippets. You get this little window here that pops up. It brings it up in a new tab or a new window. And this is what I was showing you in the PowerPoint deck before. This is where we say, OK, if I want to put top navigation in there, maybe I'd click this. And maybe I'd grab this whole snippet or whatever. I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do the search box because I like it. It's nice and compact or whatever. And you can see over here, this accordion pane I was telling you about. Like if we decide, I don't know what you'd want to do, but you could change the CSS class on it. You could change various behaviors. You can do all kinds of interesting stuff with it, just like you would do in the traditional master page days where you'd go in and just edit these things and get it. So once we update that, we can click this little update button. It'll refresh this this code block right here. And then what you want to do is you just want to grab this whole code block. Like you can see it's kind of large.
You can just hit copy.
You can hit copy. Some browsers, you know, it works a little bit better if you just select the whole thing. But so what we do now is we go over here, and if I refresh this folder, this is the view of our site collection that I've mapped, right? And you remember I only put an HTML file up there, right? And you remember it was just clean HTML. And now you'll see that there's a master page file and an HTML file in there. And if I edit the HTML file, take a look at it, and if you look at our original HTML, which was right here, you can see that it's added a lot of stuff to my HTML, right? So another recommendation I have, save off a version of your clean HTML so that you can refer back to it if you need to, so you don't have to, you know, if you ever want to change anything or whatever, you don't have to look at all this stuff. But what you're seeing here is all the stuff that makes this work with SharePoint, all the stuff that if you've worked with a master page, like you just look inside these comments and you can see right there, that's where the robots meta tag is that puts in, you know, the robot stuff. And the reason why it's all commented is because Dreamweaver wouldn't know what to do with that. And so it's commented, so Dreamweaver skips it, and then you'll see some of them have a preview in them as well, where Dreamweaver will skip the, you know, skip the code block, but then what it'll show is, you see here, read-only preview, do not modify, Dreamweaver will actually show sometimes an image of like the ribbon or something like that. That way you can at least get an appreciation of where it should go on the page, right? And so if you remember correctly, we copied that search box or whatever. So if I want to put that in there somewhere, I could just go down here to like wherever my page starts. If I wanted to, I could kind of you know, take out the mocked up search box or whatever, and I could paste in that code. And you can see here that I don't have WordWrap on, but it goes for a good while, right? And that's kind of another kind of interesting thing. If you're used to the old way of doing things, these snippets are, I think, harder to read when you look at them in HTML, right? But the theory there is that you don't need to read them. You use the snippets gallery, you change the things there, you repaste it in when you're done with it, right? So if I hit save on this, what's going to happen is it's going to think for a second. Sometimes your saves are a little slower because it's now in the, it's hitting this site collection, right? And so when I saved it, it actually refreshed the .master file that's associated with it. And I'll open that up real quick so you can see what it looks like. Let me change this so that the coloring is on. But you can see that you know, it's like a traditional master page, but whenever we add those things in, it takes that search box, and it was like commented right there, and it turns it into a search box control, right? And so that's how, like, if you're new to this, you can learn from this. You can look at it and see what it created behind the scenes. Okay, so I saved that out, right? And so now if we go back to our site right here, go back here, we should see an actual... So you can see I still have some styling to do, right? But now this is like a functioning search box. Like I could go in there. I don't know if I have search wired up or not, but if we hit OK, it's actually going to go try to do a search or whatever, right? And so I don't have my design applied to all the subsites, so the search site isn't branded. But the good thing is the way the search center is set up now is this branding can apply to that really nicely. So what you do now is you just go through, put all your snippets in there, right? You put in the top nav, put in the body, put in, you know, any web parts that you want to, and then your next step is to try to style all this stuff, to do CSS stuff, and that's what we're going to talk about briefly next.
All right. So when you think about branding in SharePoint, branding in SharePoint has always been synonymous with CSS. I keep going back to the previous versions of SharePoint. If anybody in here was ever involved in branding SharePoint 2003, you know what I'm talking about. Pretty much branding in SharePoint 2003 was all about CSS, and it's continued on all the way until till now. So it's the recommended approach is always has always been don't mess with the out of the box SharePoint CSS. What we want to do is use the cascading nature of CSS and make sure that we are overriding the out of the box styles and just make sure that our new custom styles are being applied last. So the way that we do that, we have a few options for doing that. Probably the first option that you can, the kind of the most basic option would then be to add a content editor web part or the new script editor web part. In both cases, you can kind of just drop CSS onto a page and like hide the quick links or do something else. So there's a pro and con to that. The pro is that, you know, allows you to change the style on one page that you're looking at, which is nice because sometimes you just want to have a unique style on one page. But the downside is that it only applies to one page. So if you want this to be applied globally, it's probably not the best option. So if you do want it to be applied globally, you have a few options. One, you can apply your custom CSS to your master page, which would simply be add a reference to your custom CSS just in your master page, just call in your custom CSS. Or if you're using Design Manager and you've got a custom CSS associated with your HTML file, it'll automatically apply that for you, so you kind of get the benefit there. And the other option would be if you have publishing or even you can leverage what's called alternate CSS. Alternate CSS has an interface in publishing sites, but if you don't have publishing enabled, you can still leverage alternate CSS. It's just a little bit more buried. You have to apply. You have to make sure your alternate CSS gets applied with like PowerShell or something like that. But if you want the interface, you just got to make sure publishing is on. But all of those are great options for you know making sure that doing the things to override your CSS. But before you get to that step of overriding something, like what's the process? What do you do to actually make the changes?
Exactly. And so working with CSS is tricky in SharePoint. It's a little bit easier in some respects in 2013. It's also a little bit more difficult in 2013. So it's an interesting duality where if you were in one of the other sessions, they talked about how they threw away all the CSS that was in 2010 and rebuilt it. And they made everyone on the team justify whether they needed a new class or not for something. So there's more reuse of CSS. So you change one thing, more things change, right? But the downside is they did end up with actually more lines of CSS. So there's actually something like 13,000 lines of CSS in the core V15 CSS file. So you don't want to like just crack that open and start scrolling through trying to find what you want to change. And so if you were ever in any of our previous sessions in 2010, we talked about this same stuff where you have tools to help you. You know, we used to have SharePoint Designer to help us. It's still an option. You can still use SharePoint Designer to help you with this. We prefer to just use tools that are in the browser that show you exactly what you're going to see. So if you're targeting IE, you're targeting Firefox, whatever, they have tools in every one of these. Usually they're always mapped to F12, whether you have to download them or not. And so IE comes with what they call the F12 developer tools or the IE developer toolbar. Hit F12, it comes up, you point at things, shows you what the CSS that's applied to it. I like Firebug for Firefox, even though I think Firefox is like the least popular browser now because everyone uses IE and Chrome. I still use Firefox to debug CSS because I like Firebug a lot. And that's an extra download. You go to getfirebug.com, install it in your browser. You can see stuff, make changes. You highlight elements, see the changes. And then once you've got things looking the way you want, add them back into your CSS file. And so that's what we're gonna show you really briefly. This demo isn't like a really long demo here. So we're just going to kind of just show the idea. I think most people have seen this in action before, but I'll show it anyways. Here's again the default UI. I'm in IE here, so I automatically have the IE developer toolbar. I could hit F12. I think it's also up here under here, F12 developer tools. I click that. This is all pretty small. Let me see if I can zoom in or whatever. When it pops up, you can see a little view here. I can't click on stuff when I'm zoomed in though. So if I go here and I click this little arrow, right? And then as I go around, it like highlights stuff. And let's say I wanted to change the font of this site settings, right? When I click on that, it takes me in here. And sometimes it'll target the exact thing I want in HTML, and sometimes it'll be a little off. And in this case, we probably want this H1 tag right here is probably what we'd want to style. And if you look over here on the right, you could see here's all the styles that are being applied to it and what's being overridden. It draws lines through stuff to show you what's being overridden, what's not. You know, you can change these things. Like I could change it to red right there, and then my text would change to red. You know, I can bump this up to like, you know, 20 pixels. Bump it down, actually. I forgot the font is gigantic right there. But, you know, you could make it however you would like and, you know, start to make changes and see exactly how you want to change it. And maybe you'd want to do that with like your actual, you know, your branding or whatever. So like if we looked at our Randy's Waffles thing here, here's Firefox, Firebug I've already installed. If I hit F12 again, it comes up. Works very similarly. You know, I can select things. I can see what style is being applied to it. Here's an H1 tag again if I drag this over. You can see what's going on there. One reason why I like Firebug a little better is I think it's easier to sort of add things in. So I can double click and say color, red. You know, I can make that red. And if I want to like bump up the font size, I could just hit arrow up and then it just kind of like, you know, I can go crazy with it. We probably don't want it to go that big or whatever. But the thing is, when you do this and you get it the way you want it to look, if you hit F5, it's all going to go away. So you need to like grab this and make the change permanent or whatever. So like if we wanted to make it permanent, we'd select that, hit copy. And then if we worked with the design manager, you know, it took care of some of this for us, where if you look right here, this line is where it mapped our CSS, right? And so it knew that we already had a style sheet associated with this, put the style sheet in the master page gallery, linked it up for us. And if you look at what happened in the master page, it turned that just simple reference into SharePoint CSS registration. There's an SP URL. It tells it to look to the top of the site collection, go into catalogs, master page, waffles, and bring in style.css. And so that's what you would have to do if you coded this master page by hand. But since we use the design manager, it wired that up for us. So like if we wanted to make that permanent, all we'd have to do is just go in here, edit this style sheet. You know, if we wanted to make it permanent, maybe we'd like tack it onto the end of the file or whatever, hit save, and then like if all goes as planned, you know, you would see that. And if I hit refresh, you should see that that stays red. But you probably want to actually go in here and start messing with the search box, making sure this blue line is hidden, all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to go into all that because that's honestly the hardest part of all this now is dealing with fixing CSS so that it looks right and things. So fixing up your navigation to look right, your search box, your web parts, all those kind of things are still, they haven't really added anything to help with that in 2013. That's the difficult part.
And I always say that whenever we do a longer version of this presentation, that's, in a nutshell, you do what Randy just showed you. You rinse and repeat it a whole bunch of times, and, you know, that's his job.
Yep. That's what I do all day.
So
it's a glamorous life, people.
In terms of full effort branding, all the hard stuff, you know, this is, if you want to go, you want to push the pedal all the way to the floor, what's possible? You know, just to give you an example, and all these sites are from topsharepoint.com, we've got a number of examples of public-facing SharePoint sites. We've got Chili's, we've got Calphalon. You know, a lot of these are all brands that you've heard of, Energizer.
This one's one you probably haven't heard of, but I really like this site a lot. Check this one out later, the Renova Energy site. It's a European site or whatever, but they really did a lot of really cool DHTML kind of JavaScript stuff where the whole page scrolls and like parallax where things kind of scroll in different rates or whatever. It's very neat.
And so the footnote here on a lot of this stuff, Randy and I these are not sites that Randy and I have done though.
No.
This is a more recent one that we've done on an intranet, and we wanted to show it on there to say, you know, we've shown you all of these public-facing sites. This is an internal site. You know, they all look, if I were to show these to just a random person walking down the street and said, you know, what technology is used to this? I mean, nobody knows that this is SharePoint, and that's awesome. You know, SharePoint can look like whatever it is that you really want it to look like. This is an intranet. These are other examples that we showed you were public-facing sites. And really, it just all comes down to, you know, we're from Orlando, and, you know, we've got Disney around us, and they like to say, if you can dream it, you can do it. And that's true with whenever you come up with a design, you know, there should be no reason why you shouldn't be able to execute your design in SharePoint, whatever that may be. So when you think about the design planning process, especially when it comes to the full effort branding, we normally go into it and kind of talk about it in more detail. But I'm not going to go through every little step on here, but the color coding on these boxes is purposeful. When you think about the beginning part that's all green, all of that should be something that no matter what technology you're using for making your website should be the same. Planning, you know, doing all the information architecture, taxonomy, wireframe stuff, you know, that's all pretty generic stuff. Creative design, building your HTML, CSS. If you have a creative agency that you're working with, they should be totally great to help you out with everything in the green. Once we get into the purple, that's what I affectionately refer to as SharePointifying your site. So you're taking that design that somebody gave you, you're importing it into SharePoint, and then you're And then you're going through that iterative process that Randy was showing and turning those static images into working SharePoint stuff. And then once you create the branding in SharePoint, you do all your you build any custom UI pieces,
custom dev, you know,
roll-ups, whatever it is that you happen to need to meet your requirements. You do your testing, because we all want to make sure that we do our testing in QA, right?
We do a lot of testing.
Never make changes directly into production. That's our, you know.
That's our mantra.
But then once you do that, you create your solution package. Maybe you just export it, do whatever it is, deploy it to production. This is kind of the whole path that we all follow. But I do want you to understand, though, that everything in green is, it should be not SharePoint specific. We're kind of talking about regular stuff. So when Randy and I were talking about this session last week, we were talking about the different levels of branding and all the different options, and I thought, and we started having a discussion about, you know, when does it make sense to use Design Manager versus when does it make sense to just do a custom master page?
Do it
just
the old way.
Do
make
it the
a
old
custom
way.
Master page.
I like to call it the classic way.
Classic style. It's good.
So, if you guys take away one thing in this presentation, I think a lot of the guidance that's on this slide, I think, is something that we want to make sure that when you'll see sessions on the Compose Looks, you'll see sessions on Design Manager. But the reality is that what we're trying to talk about is bringing the whole branding strategy together from SharePoint 2013 into one place. So we tried to boil that down into kind of a decision matrix, and Randy put this together for me.
It's not the best matrix in the world.
But essentially the dark green dots are like absolute yeses, the light green dots are sort of a maybe. And obviously, if there's no dot, it's not a consideration. I'm not going to read through every single bullet point here, because you guys can read and pull this down later. But everybody's situation is going to be different. We want to give you a little bit of guidance on, you know, what's going to be the right approach to carry out whatever your design goals are. A couple key things that I will point out. If you have Foundation, you don't have Design Manager, so it's not an option for you. Yep. And another thing to consider is that, you know, when you do enable Design Manager, and if you do an import of design files and everything like that, it's going to go ahead, it's going to convert everything, but there is a little piece that we haven't really talked about called the MDS, which is the minimal download strategy, which is something that at this time is not, we can't guarantee that if you import a design into your publishing site and then try to apply it over a collaboration site, that it would work 100% of the time.
I should probably have a slide on this, but I don't. I apologize. So we'll describe it really quick. When you create a team site or a collaborative site, any of the collaborative sites, like I think a blog would fall into this category, et cetera, the MDS feature is turned on. So if you go into the site features, I think it's in the site features, you'll see minimal download strategy activated. If you go to a publishing site, by default, it's turned off. Okay, and if you remember from the keynote, they were talking about how the rendering is 40% faster in SharePoint, right, in 2013. That's because of MDS. And when you go to a team site, you'll see animations in, like you'll see like something fades in. What's happening there, and it's rather difficult to explain. I've seen a chart that explains it in detail, and there's tons of arrows all over it that describes how this works. But what happens is when MDS is on, all of your page URLs go through something called start.aspx ? And then the URL that it's actually trying to go to. And when you go from one page to another, it's only looking for what's visually different on the page. So it's not like the caching like you're used to. It's caching of things on the page between the two. And MDS is what allows it to say, this thing's different, so I need to animate it in, show that it's different. But it loads it much faster because it didn't render anything that didn't change between the two, right? For whatever reason, that's not activated in publishing. And when you create a master page with the Design Manager, it flips off that feature. Okay, so that doesn't sound so bad. Okay, it just doesn't work, right? But what really happens is if you still have it activated and then you apply a Design Manager master page, you'll see the page load twice. It'll try to go to start.aspx, it'll fail, and it'll roll over to your actual page. And so you'll see a flash on the screen. Every single page you go to will do that. And so if you want to use Design Manager master page in a collaborative environment, you need to turn off the MDS, and then you lose that speed benefit. And so if you want to have it and you want to have custom branding, you're either going to use a composed look like we showed you earlier for simple stuff, or you're going to go create a master page the old school way.
Yeah, and generally we've tried to simplify some of these decisions. There's tons of gray area that
yes,
we can't effectively communicate in all of this. These are just kind of for your benefit, but I would say that likely the realistic strategy is you may, if you have publishing and you have collaboration, you may either need multiple master pages or at the very least a master page for publishing and combine it with composed looks, which actually can reference a master page as well. So we're still kind of trying to solidify our final ultimate strategy, and it'll probably be, you know, whenever we our book comes out, we'll probably have boiled it down hopefully by then.
Something simpler to understand maybe.
But I mean, I think this is a great starting point. This is the product of many months of conversations at lunch and everything like that. but keep that in mind.
So other reason you might want to use old school custom master pages, you're used to it. You've done 2010 branding. That's how what you're used to. You look at those snippets and you go, ugh, those are awful to look at. I know what they boil down to. I can code it myself. Maybe you have a 2010 site that's already branded. You already have a master page. You don't have the HTML that built that master page, so you just want to convert it over. A good way to do that is to use a starter master page. The minimal one that comes with the Design Manager isn't commented or anything like that. And so if you were doing branding in 2010, I put up starter master pages at startermasterpages.codeplex.com. I have recently just put up 2013 versions of them all. They're well commented. I at least tried to get the comments as close to what they actually are, well tabbed. And all they are is just your blank canvas or whatever to do your branding. But the interesting thing is, the way Microsoft did the Design Manager is exactly how you would use a starter master page. You know, you'd create your HTML design like normal. You'd map the drive. You could add all the CSS and images from your HTML design. The only difference is you're not going to just drag in the HTML file. Instead, you're going to start with this starter master page, and you're going to move snippets into it manually, not the snippets that are HTML snippets, but what the snippets converted to when you actually have a master page. So that's the part you need to have a little bit of knowledge of what the navigation looks like and what the search looks like and that kind of thing. And then you wire up your CSS, and you style CSS just like before. But then when you package it, you might want to create a WSP with Visual Studio, deploy it to the server, et cetera, et cetera.
So a lot of that aspect is really still the same. And when we talk about SharePoint in 2013, one of the biggest improvements is going to be the WCM stuff. We're not going to go into it in too much detail here, but it's personally one of my favorite improvements, specifically the content search web part, which is very similar to content query web part. It's just rolling stuff up. It's rolling stuff up now using the search engine, which is a lot more performant and gives you tons more options, in addition to the fact that the output of that it can now be styled with HTML and JavaScript using the display templates as opposed to XSLT, which everybody kind of had a love-hate relationship
with. I think
there's
a session that talks about this right now, so watch the video later if you want to learn more about Content Search Web Part.
Yeah, please don't everybody get up and run.
Yeah,
to
don't
the other
run over there and go
the
watch
last
the last minutes,
but,
5 minutes of it.
Another option is the cross-site publishing stuff via the catalogs. Again, take a look at that, and I have a blog post on that on my blog if you're interested in getting some more information. But really kind of similar idea. But from the content search standpoint, you know, here's sort of what it looks like. You've got the web part over there on the left. You've got your settings there, your web part settings there, kind of in the middle, and then we can go ahead and we can sort of build our query. And again, not really something that we're going to go into in two tons of detail. But like I said, favorite, maybe my favorite thing.
So I think we have what, like 7 minutes left or something. Enough time to talk about SharePoint Online, right? So all of the Office 365 SharePoint Online stuff for an intranet is very similar to what we just showed you. If you have enterprise and publishing, you could do all the stuff we just showed you. If you only have the small business, you could really only do like the composed look side of what we showed you. The thing that's different about all this is the public-facing site in SharePoint Online. So that's what we're focusing on in this. And here's kind of what it looks like. We're going to show a demo of it in a second. But if you're familiar with how they did it in 2010 was Microsoft, close your ears. It was awful, right? It was some sort of like amalgamation of like front page, small business server. Awful, right? Didn't have master pages, didn't have anything like that. So now they've upgraded it. And what you actually get with it is pretty neat. It's not like full publishing. Like if you go mess with the features, it's not the same exact features are turned on as a publishing site, but you've got master pages, you've got page layouts, you've got composed looks if that's what you want to use. So you could do a lot of the stuff we just showed you, right? But also they tack in this area of the ribbon, which you see on the screen there, and I'll show you briefly in a demo, is that you could do things in it quicker than you could in a regular site. It's geared to styling your homepage. And I'll just show in a demo real quick, less than 5 minutes or whatever. So number seven. Here is my SharePoint Online site, my public-facing site. You can see it at waffles2013-public.sharepoint.com if you really wanted to go to it. And kind of if you go to it by default, this is what it looks like, kind of fancy look, kind of looks like a hotel. You can change that up. And if we look at some of the different things here real quick, if I go over to the site settings real quick, hopefully our connection works. If not, the demo will be over.
That's good whenever we're running out of time.
Okay, so SharePoint Online is online, so when the internet connection doesn't work, we don't get to show you a demo. So I'll just show you this real quick since it's already cached. If I go to the site tab, you get some extra things in here where we could go straight to change look by hitting here. We could change the title. We could change the logo, which is where I clicked earlier to add that Randy's Waffles thing. Just takes you right there. I think the two of the most interesting things is this edit style sheet where, let's see if it actually worked. It did work. I can just inject CSS right here and like see it on my page if I wanted to. So it's like a shortcut for just injecting CSS. Other interesting thing is if you see down here at the bottom, they tacked on a footer and that persists across all the pages. If I go to About Us, you can see the footer right there. If I edit that footer, it persists across pages and you don't have that in a farm install. And so what we could do is we can go in there and we could say like footer SPC 2012 or whatever we call this event we're at, and then we can hit go up here and I don't know how I save it, but anyways, you get the idea. I can actually change that out, and then once I make the change to it, there we go. It's save. Now it says SPC 2012. If I go back to like the contact us or whatever, it persists across. And that's actually something you don't have in the farm. Like if you wanted that functionality, you'd have to code that yourself or do something with jQuery or a custom code or what have you. So yeah, they've kind of wired that up.
And if you're a business, if you're a small business or you know even a larger business that's using Office 365 and you're using SharePoint, you have your site up there, I mean, it's a great way to just you know get a little bit more out of it, you know, convey everything that you're doing and have a nice little web presence there. Do a little bit faster and easier than in the past. But I think that's about all we have time for. We've got a couple minutes left. So after the session, if you guys have any questions, please feel free to come up and talk to us. If you want to reach out to us, here's our email and Twitter, and check out our blogs.
Be sure to evaluate the session, please, if you didn't like it, don't evaluate it, please.
Please, thanks, everybody, for coming, and enjoy the rest of the week. Thanks, guys.